We have seen beloved community modeled for us all week. Four guys singing in perfect harmony is another example of that. Partisan politics have shown us beloved community, regardless of what color you might be in the political world. We have seen the parties gather around one another and support one another, regardless of good, bad, or outcomes that may be there. Today's Super Bowl Sunday, if you've missed that already, certainly the fans from the Super Bowl teams have been waving their colors all over Miami and around the world, telling us why their team is the most beloved of all teams and their players are the greatest of all time. Perhaps the most touching example of beloved community has been the response around the world mourning the passing of Kobe Bryant and his daughter and friends in that tragic helicopter crash. People desire beloved community. People desire to belong to a group that cares deeply and loves unconditionally. You've heard me say before, and you will hear me say again, people go where they know they've been prepared for and are cared for. As people understand that they have been prepared for, and they come to whatever it may be and see that they are cared for. People want to be a part of that. People understand there is beloved community and want to be a part of that kind of relationship. I don't know of anybody who says, I think I'm going to go down to that hard-headed group and see if I can make my way into them and change them. I don't know anybody who wants to do that. But a beloved community, people want to be a part of that. And so Daniel has this vision, his prophecy, trying to inspire his people. Now understand that Daniel is to the Old Testament what Revelation is to the New Testament. Daniel is writing apocalyptic prophecy, that's hard to say three times really fast. Apocalyptic prophecy to say to his people, God is in control, the bad and the evil are going to be wiped away, and we're going to continue on in the days to come. In the same way, John, writing the Revelation, says the same thing. God is in control, the bad people and the evil, in his case, Rome, is going to be destroyed, and we're going to continue on loving each other as we move forward. Daniel is in Babylon. Most of Israel is in exile at this point. They have moved into slavery and making bricks with mud and little straw. Things aren't looking so good for Daniel and the people of Israel. Back home, the temple has been defiled. Sacrifices have stopped. Offerings are at an all-time low. Fear is rampant. The temple, which was not just a temple, it was a whole mall, if you will, of spirituality. When you came upon the Temple Mount, there were all kinds of opportunities and activities to pray and to find spiritual formation. And then you went into the main temple if you were male. Women had to stand at the wall and wail while the males got to go to church. To this day, they still do that. Sacrifices were made in the morning and sacrifices were made in the evening. And the best cuts of the sacrifice were then blessed by the rabbis and sent to the butcher shop. They were pronounced holy, if you will, or we know the word kosher. So the blessed meat, the best part of the meat, was sent to the butcher shop and cleaned up and sold. And the proceeds from the sale, part of the proceeds from the sale, went back to the temple. So most of Israel is in Babylon in slavery, and the rest of Israel is trying to make sense of the secularization of their temple mount. There are no sacrifices. There's no money coming in. And it's pretty easy to see that we're in trouble. Daniel says to the people of Israel, just as God has taken care of us in the past, just as God is taking care of us in the present, God will take care of us as we move into the future. There will be redemption and there will be resurrection. As Daniel is sharing that message, at one point he has a vision of Jesus, the Christ of eternity, actually, in the form of Jesus. And as Daniel sees that vision, he collapses to the ground. Now, I don't know about you, but if I were to encounter the risen Lord, I think my knees would buckle. I think my mouth would grow silent. I think I would probably fall to the ground as well. But Jesus says, Daniel, stand up. Let's visit. Stand up, fear not. And then he says these words, because you set your mind to gain understanding, and because you have humbled yourself before God, your words, your prayers have been heard. Hear that again. First, Jesus says, come on, Daniel, I want to hang out a while. That's my paraphrase, but it works. I want to hang out a while. And Daniel, because you have set your mind on understanding God and because you have humbled yourself, your prayers have been heard. So fear not. There's so much to unpack there, and I don't have time. At some point, we'll revisit an attitude of prayer. But notice, first of all, that Jesus desired beloved community with Daniel. And secondly, he affirms Daniel for his faith stance. You have desired to know a higher way, a better way, and you have humbled yourself in the process. If we want to know how to release ourselves from fear, we release ourselves from fear by saying, I want to know the mind of God. Not, I want to give God a piece of my mind. I want to hear a piece of God's mind. And I'm going to be humble in that process. Some of us need to begin to seek understanding God instead of telling the rest of us what God is saying. And the people who scare me the most are those people who tell me exactly what God is saying. And some of us need to humble ourselves and lay low the arrogance that we carry. Well, don't you know you're at the First Baptist Church? Yes, I'm well aware of where I am. And I appreciate the pride that you have in your congregation, but there's a fine line between pride and arrogance. And while you may look in the mirror and see God's gift, I may not. I don't know how to be humble. I don't really like to be humble. I like to be proud. I like to be important. I like to be liked, respected. But arrogance doesn't draw people to that. Arrogance ratchets up the fear. And I will humbly say to you today, the one thing I am sure about is that I'm not sure about much. Have you seen the guy on the Hardee's commercial? They have this meatless sausage, and he's walking out in the farm field, and these meatless sausages are growing on the corn stalks. Have you seen this? And the guy's holding one. He says, "People want to know how they get this meatless sausage, and I got the answer for them. I don't know." That's how it is. That's how it is with things that are holy. We don't know the mind of God. We don't know the mind of God. And so we have to stop and pause and humble ourselves and say, "Lord, I don't know why this is happening, but I know who you are. So forgive my arrogance. God loves us. And that should be enough." If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves, then I will hear their prayers. He also says, "Turn from your wicked ways," in that humbling. Now, I need you to listen to me for just a minute. In the last 5 years, you've had some storms blow through here. In the last 5 years, two of those storms have been natural disasters that have swept through your church. Another of those storms that blew through here created quite a lot of conflict among the congregation. And some of you are still carrying that piece of luggage around with you. And some of you have dealt with the storm of disappointment that has come in the last few months. And those storms have blown through you and against you and over you. But those storms do not define you. Those storms do not define you. And if you are going to continue being the church that God has called you to be, if you are going to move past the pain of the past, you're going to have to set that aside and fear not. None of those storms were God's judgment on you, and none of those storms are God's punishment on you. If anything, those storms happened so that we might draw closer to God instead of questioning God. Rabbi Kushner says, when bad things happen to good people, The question is not, why did this happen? The question is, since this has happened, what are we going to do about it? Since this has happened, what are we going to do about it? And the whole purpose of the listening sessions, the whole purpose of me being here is to ask you that question. Yes, bad things have happened. So what are you going to do about it? Deep, deep within the DNA of this church is courage. Deep within your history. How many years, David? 165 years you've been together. Some of you from the very beginning. And some of you are wondering, are we going to make it another 165 years? Some of you are wondering, are we going to make it another day? And the question is not, God, where were you when those storms were coming? God, why did you let these things happen to us? Those are not the questions. The question is, Lord, now that this has happened, what would you have us to do? And that was the question that Daniel had lifted up over and over unto God. God, do you hear my prayer? And Jesus says to Daniel, and Jesus says to this church, you are my beloved. Stand up and let's visit. Let's listen for the heart of God. Let's live the love of God. In your grief and in your fear, I'm afraid that some of you have been overwhelmed by that. I'm afraid that that grief and that fear has beaten down your confidence and robbed you of your courage. And what I want to say to you is rarely, rarely are people praised for their courage in the midst of the happening. So some people don't like you. Big deal. So some people are saying nasty things about us. Quit listening. If everybody was jumping off a bridge, would you be jumping off a bridge? Y'all have parented that forever. No, you would not. So live with courage. My brothers and my sisters, rekindle your faith. Stand up and show this community that you are viable and valuable and a beloved community as you impact one another and as you impact beyond. What has happened to you is to say to you that God is still active, that God still has his hand on this church, that God still loves you. So let us set our minds to a greater spiritual understanding. Let us humble ourselves. Let us love God with all our heart, all our soul, all our mind, and let us love our neighbors more than we love ourselves, even when they say bad things about us. Only when that happens will we be on our way towards healing and resurrection and redemption. As we love God with all our heart, all our soul, all our mind, and as we love our neighbors more than we love our own selves, only then will we become that bold and courageous, beloved community. for which we so yearn. Loving God, you challenge us to humble ourselves. You challenge us to listen for your Spirit. You challenge us in so many ways, and yet we still are human, God. Forgive us for the sin of our arrogance. And bring us back to Jesus. For we pray this in his name. Amen.